Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey guys, Joe McGee through the Bible. We're in the book of Genesis, and we've had several lessons, and we're going back to right in the beginning, trying to keep it in chronological order so you kind of know when it happened, why it happened, and where it was going. So we're in the book of Genesis, and if you got your Bible, you can read along if you want to. We're in Genesis chapter 2 today, and back in how things got to where they are. So I'm reading, when I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So if you're reading along, let me just say what happened. When the Lord God, I'm in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, when the Lord God made the earth, the heavens, neither the wild plants or grains grown on earth, the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth. So there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God made or formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living creature. So where did Adam come from? God made him from the dirt, and then he formed him, and then he breathed into his nostrils, and all of a sudden Adam was alive. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he placed the man that he'd made. And the Lord God made all sorts of trees to grow up from the ground. People say, well, what came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. God made everything mature, and it reproduced immaturity. Then it reproduced and grew to be mature. So it was the process, the law of Genesis. So the trees were beautiful. They produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden, and then dividing into four branches. The first branch, called Pishon, flowed around the entire land of Havilah, where the gold is found. The gold of that land is exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and onyx stone also were found there. The second branch, called Gihon, flowed around the entire land of Cush. Third branch, called Tigris, flowed east, the land of Asher. And then the fourth branch is called Euphrates. And the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So God formed from the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the sky. He brought them to man to see what he would call them. So Adam named everything on the planet, named every animal, every bird, everything that existed. God brought him, because he wanted Adam to rule and reign. Adam was made to rule and reign on this planet. So he says, okay, give him a name. And so he gave names to all the livestock, the birds, the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So in verse 21 of chapter 2, the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took one of man's ribs, closed the opening, and then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to the man. Adam woke up and said, men, at last, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from me. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Now that's the end of Genesis chapter 2. What happened? Well, God made man, you know, let man name all the animals, and he realized, okay, he's been busy, he's got a full day, but it's not good for him to be alone. He needs a helper. So a woman came onto the scene. Now in chapter 3, verse 1, here's where it gets interesting. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, asked Eve, did God really say you must not eat of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Verse 2, of course, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Well, number one, she's misquoting because God didn't give instructions to Eve. He gave instructions to Adam. Adam's job was to inform Eve. That's why the Bible says Adam sinned, but Eve was deceived. Two different things. "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil." Well, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful. Its fruit looked really delicious, and she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. The Bible says in the cool of the evening, when the breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" One translation says, "Is Adam, Adam, where are you?" Verse 10, he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" She said, "Well, the serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Then he said to the woman, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." To the man he said, "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It's going to grow thorns and thistles for you. And though you eat its grains, you will do so by the sweat of your brow. You will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you are made from the dust, and to the dust you will return." So the summation is this. When they sin, several things happen. God told Adam, "You're going to have to work. The ground is now cursed because of you. So you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow." Up to this point, you just walk through. It'd be like walking through a grocery store. What food do you want? Well, whatever you want to take. It's all free. So Adam and Eve ate everything. It just grew. You know, everything's free. But now, it's not. You're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Then he said to the woman, "Now that you've sinned, I'm going to sharpen the pain of your pregnancy. And in pain, you will give birth." So I believe before the fall, there was no pain in pregnancy or in birth. Having a baby is like spitting out a watermelon seed. It's real simple. But after the fall, man, it's like giving birth, like giving birth to a watermelon. And then on top of that, he said, "And since you sinned, you will desire to control your husband, but he will ruthlessly rule over you." So I used to tell people, male chauvinism and women's liberation were not born in the 60s. They were born in the Garden of Eden. And so you realize something, well, how did it go south so quick? It just did. It just went real, it went bad. And so here we have Adam and Eve. They realize they're naked. They made clothes. They've sinned. And so they're going to be escorted out of the garden. So it says, then the man Adam named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and Eve. Where'd the first clothes come from? God made them. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out and take their fruit from the tree of life and eat it? They will live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden and sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he'd been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the garden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now Adam and Eve had sexual relations, or Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth to Cain. She said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. Later she gave birth to his brother, who named Abel. Then when they grew up, became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground, Abel became a shepherd. when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lambs from his flock. Then the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you angry?" the Lord God asked Cain. "Why do you look dejected? You'll be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." One day Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother, Abel, and killed him. Afterward, the Lord God asked, "Where's your brother? Where's Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, biblically you are, but he didn't know, so he's trying to duck and run. Then it says, the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed up your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you. No matter how hard you work, from now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth." Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear. You banished me from the land and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me." The Lord said, "No, for I will give you a sevenfold punishment. I'll give a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Then Cain had sexual relations with his wife. She became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. And Cain founded a city, which he named Enoch after his son. Enoch had a son named Arad. Arad became the father of Mahulal. Mahulal became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah became the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women. The first was named Adah. The second was named Zillah. Adam gave birth to Jabal, who was the first of those to raise a livestock and live in tents. His brother's name was Jubal, the first to play the harp and the flute. Lamech's wife, Zillah, gave birth to a son named Tubal-Cain. He became an expert in forging tools of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain had a sister named Noah. One day Lamech said to his wives, "Admiral Zillah, hear my voice. Listen to me, you wives of Lamech. I have killed a man who attacked me, a young man who wounded me. If someone who kills Cain is punished seven times, then the one who kills me will be punished 70 times seven." Then we have the birth of Seth. Adam had sexual relations with the wife again. She gave birth to another son. She named Seth, for she said, "God has granted me another son in place of Abel who killed Cain." When Seth grew up, he had a son named Enosh. At that time, the people first began to worship the Lord by name. Now, you've got all these generations, and for the first time, people start to worship God. Well, where have they been? Lost as a goose, we say, in a snowstorm. The beginning of chapter 5, this is the written account of the descendants of Adam. When God created human beings, he made them to be like himself. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and called them human. So when Adam was 130 years old, he became a father of a son who was just like him in his very image. He named him Seth. After birth of Seth, Adam lived another 800 years. He had sons and daughters. Adam lived 930 years, then he died. When Seth was 105, he became the father of Enosh. After the birth of Enosh, Seth lived another 807 years, had other sons and daughters. Seth lived 912 years before he died. When Enosh was 90 years old, he became a father of Kenan. After the birth of Kenan, Kenan lived another 815 years. He had sons and daughters, and when he lived, to be in 905 until he died. So it goes on the list, everybody who lived, and they're living forever. And so it's just incredible. So when you get down toward the end of chapter 5, it said after the birth of Noah, Lamech lived another 595 years, had other sons and daughters. Lamech lived 777 years, and he died after Noah's 500 years old. He became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the beginning of chapter 6, we start to kind of get what's going on. Then people began to multiply on the earth. Daughters were born to them. And the sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any that they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, the normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. So all of a sudden, nobody's going to live to be 900 years anymore. God looked at them, saw that they were starting to multiply with the fallen angels, said, you know, we're going to stop this. The normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth. Whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors in ancient times. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. He saw that everything that they thought or imagined was consistent with totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he ever made them, and he put them on the earth, and it broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe out the human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. And so what we realize that once God made Adam and Eve, things went south in a hurry. I mean, everything kind of went out of shape. And what's going on? Well, the sin brought death with it. So sin got the first family fired, evicted, and kids killing each other. And it goes downhill from there. So if you read Bible history, it stayed that way until God sent his son to earth. So that's where we get that. Now, what you have to understand, we're trying to give you this little background out here. There was a rebellion in heaven, and most people are not aware of this. I mean, if you've ever heard maybe some of the old-time preachers, somebody preached it every now and then. But we're going to start, we're just going to read a few verses today and show you about the rebellion in heaven. So we think Genesis is just about what's going on the earth. Well, there are really, most Bible scholars, and I'm one of them, believe there's three levels. There's three levels. You have what's going on here on the earth, and the stars, the moon, the skies, the sun. We have this realm, and then we have the heavenly realm where God lives. And people that have gone on to be with God, that's where they live. But there's another middle realm on this planet, and that's where Satan dwells. So I'm going to read some scriptures, kind of let you know this, let a little concrete about what's going on. So in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 and 9, it says, then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels. He said, how'd the earth get messed up? Satan got cast down to the earth. So Isaiah 14, 12. All these scriptures from the New Living Translation. How are you fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning? You've been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. So all of a sudden you're starting to get insights. What's going on? How'd the earth get messed up? God didn't make the earth void without form. Well, Satan was cast down to the earth. He's mad. He tore everything up. Tore it all up. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Ephesians 3:10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. What unseen authorities? It's where the devil rules and reigns, the unseen authorities in the heavenly places. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter 2:4. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell in gloomy pits of darkness, where they're being held until the day of judgment. Who's that? Well, the angels that rebel with the devil, the one-third of all the angels that rebel. Matthew 25:41. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. I tell you, where'd hell come from? Well, God made hell for the devil and his angels that fell. He didn't make it for humans. He didn't make it. The Bible talks about our names being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life from the beginning of the universe. People will choose to not go to heaven. That's why there's eight scriptures in the Bible about your name being blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You're not trying to work you into heaven. God's already paid for you to go to heaven, but you do have to receive it. It's like a gift. And so Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus was asked one time if he'd ever seen the devil. He said, yes, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What did he see? Well, it's when, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they've lived forever. So God the Son was there when Satan got fired from his job. He said, you ever saw Satan? Now, he's a human on earth now, the virgin birth. He's on earth. He said, but I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Jude verse 6. And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of the authority of God that God gave them, but left the place where they belong. God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. What are they doing? Well, they've been chained up. Well, they're waiting on judgment. It's going to happen. So there's an unseen world you and I don't think much about because we don't see it. It's not on the TV. It's not on the news. So listen to this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, 8. But when people keep on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil, who's been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. So what's going on? Sin, who's really? Well, the devil, that's where it started. But God came to destroy the works of the devil. He sent Jesus. Isaiah 14, 13. If you have said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven. He's talking about the Lucifer. He said, Lucifer has said in his heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. Well, that's where God lives. So he's saying what he said, I'm going to take God's place. Revelation 9, verse 1. Revelation 9, 1. Talks about all when the trumpets were sounding. The fifth trumpet begins or brings the first terror. Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky. He was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He's talking about Lucifer. Then Revelation 12, verse 3 and 4. Revelation 12, 3 and 4. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and with 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky and threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she's about to give birth, ready to devour the baby as soon as they're born. Now, he's talking about the end times in Revelation, but he's talking about certain Lucifer had been ruling and reigning for a long time on this planet. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. God had a plan, and the devil had a plan to stop it. So from the beginning, so if you read just Genesis 1 through Genesis 6, that takes you up to the time of the flood, you saw what happened. Everything went south. People started multiplying. There's being repopulated. There's a lot going on. Adam and Eve get fired from the job, evicted. And so God realized something. I've lost mankind. Everybody's gone stupid on me. But he's got a plan. He's got a plan to restore it. And we're going to pick that up when we come back next time. So guys, get your Bible open. Read a chapter a day. Start in Psalms. Read a proverb a day. It will create its own hunger. You start reading your Bible, you'll get hungry to read more. And God will give you revelation. God loves to reveal himself, but he wants to be chased. God really likes to be chased. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.